Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to talk about what you have in you if Jesus is your Lord and Savior. If you are a Christian, if you have bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and have acknowledged Him as Savior and Lord, you now have something in you that wasn't in you before you acknowledged Him as Savior and Lord. You've been born of God. And what is in you to produce transformation in you. What's in you? It's called eternal life. And we want to spend the next several weeks talking about that life, what it is, why it's in you, and what it will do for you as you learn how to walk in the light of what God has given you through new birth. A whole lot we need to discuss, but it's a vitally important subject. Every once in a while, I'll ask somebody, what does it mean to be a Christian? And I get a lot of varied answers, and rarely, very rarely, do I get an accurate answer. Even from people who are truly born again, truly saved, truly going to heaven when they die, but there's a big lack of understanding of what happens to us at the new birth when we make Jesus Savior and Lord. Christianity is not a belief system or a code of ethics and behavior. Now, I'm not denying that there are specific beliefs associated with being a Christian. There are certain things you must believe. Neither am I denying that there are certain ethics and behavior associated with being a Christian. If you're a Christian, we should see certain behaviors in you. But Christianity is about union with God through Jesus Christ. It's a living, organic union between God and man. Now, you may be thinking, that's a little too bizarre for me. But think about it for just a minute. The New Testament uses three word pictures to describe our relationship with Jesus once we give our lives to Him. Vine and branch. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Head and body. Ephesians chapter 1 calls Jesus the head and believers the body. That's not the only place it says it, but that's one right there. And then later in Ephesians 5, believers are called, Jesus is called the husband, and believers are called the wife, the bridegroom and his bride. Now, think about it for a minute. Three word pictures. The Holy Spirit chose these three pictures to describe our relationship with Christ. Vine and branch, head and body, and husband and wife. All three of those depict two things. They depict union and shared life. A branch is united to the vine or joined to the vine and draws or shares the life that's in the vine. A head is united to the body. The body's united to the head, and they share the same life. And a husband and a wife join together and share the same life. All three pictures are conveying to us union and shared life. Why? Because Christianity is union and shared life with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to deal with this week. Now, that may be brand new, that may be new information to you. I don't know who all listens or where everyone goes to church. Many streams of Christianity that are fully orthodox, people are truly saved, they have no concept of this. That's not a knock against anybody. That's simply an observation. But I'm a teacher in the body of Christ, and my goal is to teach people. I want to help pastors. I want to give information that perhaps they don't have time to cover or whatever. But I think you're going to find these next few weeks informative and very helpful. let me just sort of lay the foundation here. If you listen to this broadcast at all, you on a regular basis, I mean, you know that we talk a lot about learning to see reality as it truly is, or learning to see things the way they really are. And the way things really are is the way God sees them, because God sees and knows everything. It's vitally important that we learn to see things the way they really are. First off, God works in our lives according to what we believe. We could do whole lessons on that. But he works in our lives according to what we believe. His grace through our faith. That's how we got saved. We're saved by his grace through our faith. We believe the facts of the gospel, and then through his grace, he imparted salvation to us. Well, that doesn't stop once you're born again. That's the way God deals with us. He works according to what we believe. Now, what we believe is based on our perception of reality. What we believe is based on the way we think things are. I mean, if you think there's a monster under the bed, you're going to be afraid. Even if there's no monster under the bed, it doesn't matter. It matters that you believe there's a monster under the bed. You think there's a monster under the bed, you believe it, and you act on it. We limit God's power in our lives when our perception of reality is inaccurate. See, think about this, and I've used this example before, but it's a good one to illustrate this point. If you lived in a room which you never left, not one time in your entire life, the room that you're in right now, if you're in a home, if you, excuse me, if you lived in this room and you never left it ever one time, I don't care how smart you are, or how perceptive you are, or how well you know that room. You may know every crack in the wall, every spot in the carpet, every bit of dust under the furniture. I don't care how well you know that room. Your view of reality would be skewed. It would not be accurate because it's limited. There's more to reality than just your room. But you don't know anything about life outside the room because you've never been outside the room to gather information about the world beyond your room. Our perception of reality is like that. We are not omniscient or all-knowing as God is. One of the characteristics of deity is omniscience. He knows everything. And you and I are limited to the information we can gather through our five physical senses, what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, and what we touch. The problem with that is it's limited, because just as there is a world beyond the room I mentioned in my example a moment ago, there is a whole realm outside of and beyond the perceptive abilities of our physical senses. There is an invisible dimension. It is the realm of God. It's the realm of God and his kingdom of full power and provision. We could do whole lessons on this, but just think about it for a minute. Obviously, God is invisible, meaning you can't see him. That's what invisible means. It doesn't mean not real. It just means you can't see him. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 calls God the invisible God. He's real, but we cannot contact him with our five physical senses. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 tells us that God created both invisible things and visible things. God created the invisible heaven, the invisible angels, and then Hebrews 11:3 tells us that through faith we understand that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God spoke his invisible word and created the entire physical visible world. Now this invisible realm actually has the greater reality. Both are real. The physical is real. The immaterial, invisible is real, but the invisible has the greater reality in that it preceded and created the visible. The invisible God spoke his invisible word and created all that we see. The invisible will outlast what we see. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. See, Paul right there tells us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there are seen things and there's unseen things. There's things you can see and there's things you cannot see. There are visible things and invisible things. Now let me finish that verse. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, that word look there, I need to tell you that, while we look not, it has the idea of mentally consider, focus our attention on. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The unseen created what we see, can change what we see. Think about it. Jesus, when he was on this earth, here's one example. He was sleeping in a boat with his disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee when a horrific storm blew up. Jesus stood up at the back of the boat. They woke him up and said, Lord, we're about to sink. We're going to die. He stood up at the back of the boat and spoke to the storm and said, peace, be still. He released invisible power through his word of command that produced a physical, visible result. Invisible things preceded visible. Invisible things will outlast physical, and in the invisible can change what we see. Eventually, it's going to transform all that we see. That's a whole can of worms for another night. Eventually, the invisible power of God is going to remove every trace of sin, corruption, and death from this physical, visible world and make all things new. But here's the point for our discussion this week. There's more to us, you and me, our makeup as human beings. There's more to us than what we see and what we feel. We have a physical, visible part. Yes, we do, our physical body, but we also have an immaterial, invisible part. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. Our outward man is our physical body. It's perishing. It's going into the grave. But our inward man, our spirit and our soul, is renewed every day. Because for a Christian, you are united as a branch to a vine, as a head to a body, as a husband to a wife. You are united to the life that's in God himself. The only reliable source of information about this unseen dimension is God's word, and we're going to spend the next couple of weeks looking at what he's put in us. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.